You might open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 for the text. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Then if you can, turn to Psalm, I'll give you three Psalms. In Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And then Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear promises that are in your word. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Lord, put us in the center of your will. We don't know a lot of things. At times right now, we are not having regular services, and different things are interfering in our life. And many have been sick, and then many are fearful of being sick. We ask you, Lord, to bring us out of this and bring us out in a way that we can bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd bless everyone that's here and all that are watching. And then, dear Lord, I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that you can only give, and we'll trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My message is, I called it, four little words. Four little words. Isn't that amazing? What God has got to say? How about these? I hear people tell me how the Bible is so hard to understand. That's not really the truth.
Amen.
The Bible is written in words easy to understand, and many of them are one-syllable words. If you can't understand one-syllable words, you don't have a chance with a college class, you know. Ask, seek, knock, call. Those are the four little words that I'm thinking about today. And as I was thinking about it, it just blessed my heart how simple some things are. I do, bless your heart, I have for years tried to take the difficult things and make them simple. I've hunted for a way to get simplicity into it. And because I thought that was what my job. I read it, I study it, I see if I can understand it, and then I try to explain it so that somebody else can understand it. And that's been the way I've preached most of my life. And I was just thinking about it this week. I was studying various messages and various chapters and looking for something that would catch my eye. And this caught my eye. How simple is that? Now this is Jesus. In Luke 11, his disciples ask him, will you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples? And he gives the Lord's Prayer. And this comes right at the end of it. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because he makes a statement, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, you can walk up to my door, but if you don't knock, you won't get in. It's actually kept locked. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid there's a bunch of thieves out there. So a few times I've forgotten to drop my garage door. And one of my neighbors, I got a very sweet neighbor, and he'd come in, knock on my door, do you want that garage door open? I didn't know it was open. And there I was with all my tools and my car and everything sitting in the garage, and the garage door's open. Does you a lot of good, huh? You put locks on things to keep a fellow from being tempted to steal something. You understand?
Amen.
And I got to thinking about how little are these words. They are tremendous words if you think about them. Ask. You know, you've gotten a lot of things that you didn't get because you didn't ask. Isn't that true? As a kid, your daddy got something going to do some good. Ask him. Maybe he doesn't know what you want. Maybe he does not know how you feel about certain things. You need to ask sometimes. And ask dad. Dad, can you help me? Dad, can you do this? Dad, can you do that? All he can do is say no. Or else you get maybe what you're looking for. What about seeking? I've been seeking in the Bible for a lot of years. Sometimes I seek an answer to a question that's come up on my mind. Sometimes I'm seeking what would be a message, what would be a clear message, what would be a message that would maybe turn somebody's heart to repent of their sins and get saved and salvation. I basically, the motive, the method of my heart is evangelism. I went to the mission field to get somebody a chance that they wouldn't have had otherwise if somebody didn't come and show them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So ask, seek. I went seeking some of them. Some of you have gone door to door. Well, it's not really an easy thing to do now at the time we're in. Nobody wants you to come visit them. And they're afraid. And then they don't want to touch boxes or something that are brought to your doors. So we're in a little different time than we've been before. But we're still seeking those that want to know about Jesus. We're still seeking those that want their sins forgiven. We're still seeking those that want a right relationship with God. We're still seeking those that want the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And we're still seeking those that look for forgiveness of sins and salvation for all eternity and the promises of heaven that we have in the Word of God. Little word. How about knocking? Come up to my door. You can press that little button. I probably won't hear it. I'm about half deaf. But I've got it written down, big letters, and there's a metal knocker on my door. It says, knock. If you don't knock, you don't get in. If you don't knock, I won't hear you over the television. If you don't knock, so look at these little words here. He said, ask. That makes sense. Seek. Knock. How about that? Some things are just so simple. Really are. And you know, a whole lot of things about salvation, not in the way that it was conceived, and not in the way that it had to be brought about, but in the presentation and the knowledge that you have, you could get saved on very simple language and very simple thoughts and just very simply by doing this, ask, seek, knock. No, in other words, call. Wow. I'm always fascinated about prayer. I have been most of my life. And the more I read from the Word of God and the more that I read the prayers of God's men, the more fascinated I became. And so that other word call, right there in 50, it's talking about prayer. It's call on God. And Psalm 50:15 said, call upon me in the day of your trouble. Well, bless your heart, during this COVID time, it'd be a nice time for you to call on God. You know what? And the church has been full plenty of times, not full now. We need to get this thing straightened out so the new normal will be people coming back and enjoying fellowship. The fellowship is one of the beautiful things of the church, and you don't get that over a TV. You know, I personally don't really like the electronic. I like when we sort of bump elbows and shake hands and somebody hugs somebody and somebody yells at, yay, look at that, brother, you know. I like the fellowship.
Sure.
I like the fellowship. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Well, this is the day of trouble. I'll guarantee you it is. I would like for the news to cover something else.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
It's amazing how much news there is all day long. Did you know there was that much news in the world? Morning, noon, and night, and it's all the same thing either. I'd like for them to get a little different topic or something. But this is a big one. But don't feel too put upon. My daddy turned 18 4 days after Armistice World War I, so he didn't get called there. World War II came along after the Depression. He lost everything in the Depression, started all over again, and moved and changed jobs, left all family behind, and whatever, you know. They saw the Depression. They saw the Dust Bowl. They saw people coming by the house wanting something to eat. Every generation, don't feel like you're special. Every generation that you can count back, they had it hard. And some of them a whole lot harder than us. I was watching a movie about old Rome and the gladiators and whatever. That's a pretty tough time. You become a Christian and they're going to make a gladiator out of you. You get to fight lions and tigers, and you get to fight soldiers, you get to fight. You're out there as dead meat. You confess that you're a Christian, you lose your job some places in the world today. You confess that you're a Christian, they'll want to come by and kill you. You and I don't have it hard. Don't feel like you've got it hard. But take what you've got, and you've got a problem. You're living with a problem, and it has been around for several months. And I don't know how much further it's going to go. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But I do know it's something we've got to live through. And it's something we ought to make as a matter of prayer. Don't you think some people during the Depression times, and everybody lost their jobs and lost their houses and lost their businesses and couldn't find work, and people are riding the rails town to town and begging just to live? Don't you think they prayed? Sure they did. And they were thankful when it ended. I remember stories of the Dust Bowl. People were farming land that was really hard to farm because it was really made more like for grazing land. And the winds come and blew it 100, 200, 300, 400 feet high. Sand just coming towards everything. Couldn't keep it out. Women actually went crazy in their houses because of going weak and weak without being able to move around and do things normally. We're not in the worst shape of anybody that's ever lived. Right. Some of them people went to prison simply because of their testimony for Jesus, and they didn't agree with a certain church that was the state church of a certain place. And some of them went in there. The man went in and sat in a prison cell. John Bunyan had a blind little girl. He wrote his books on the paper that was wound up in his food coming from his wife. See, some places they don't give you everything like they do here. Down in Guatemala when I was there, one of the ladies that was coming to church, her husband, was arrested because he'd been a farmer mail clerk. And the mailroom had been broken into and stolen, and she was running around to get money to pay a judge and to try to get her husband out of jail. You know what? He didn't eat unless she brought him the food each day. No, we haven't got it as hard as you think. You may really be tired of your own house right now. You may really want school to open up because you're tired of kids 24 hours a day. And your kids may be really tired of you. I went into academy, and the manager there was talking to me. We came together, and he showed me the rows that used to be full of bicycles. They were all gone. He couldn't get them in fast enough to sell them because everybody's at home trying to find out what to do. They're riding bicycles. They're walking down the streets. There's a lot more people walking their dogs today than ever was in my neighborhood. Now, ask, seek, knock. How about call? God has told you to pray to Him. Now, what are the circumstances of your personal life right now? Is there anything in it you really need to pray about?
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, you can pray for the church.
Amen.
You can pray for the preachers. You can pray for the missionaries. You can pray for the families that are sick and those that have lost loved ones. You can pray for them. You can pray for God to work a miracle and help a little girl that needs help physically.
Amen.
I'm 83. I never had cancer in a foot or a leg or whatever. I've been blessed, but that doesn't mean everybody around me was blessed. You know something? Some people are having a problem, and you need to ask God. It's real simple. This is not real high intellectual stuff I'm talking about. Ask. How about seek? How about knock? Lord, Lord, I need some help. Lord, the church needs some help. Lord, our politicians need some sense. I feel sorry for good policemen. I really do. And I know a lot of them, they just resigned because they knew they wouldn't be backed. You need policemen.
Amen.
I would rather have a police force that has a corrupt cop or two. You know what? In all the preachers in town, there are a few corrupt ones. In all the politicians, there are a few corrupt ones. In your office or where you work or in your family, there's every once in a while, there's a black seed. Corruption. No. We need the Lord.
Amen.
We need to ask, seek, and knock. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was looking for a biblical example of the simplicity of prayer. And I thought about Samson. Yeah, he was a rebellious rascal most of his life. He was born to be a Nazarite, but he touched dead things. He did all the things. He did it all by himself. If he had been a leader and led out, he might have been a much, much greater man. And he ended up having his eyes put out, and he's walking like an ox around the corn and moving the big things that crushed it. And he prayed. He let his hair grow back. And they didn't know what that meant. Even after that, they got the strength out of him by cutting his hair. Yeah, he couldn't be satisfied with a little Jewish girl. He had to have that Philistine. And what she wanted done? She wanted money. And she got her money. And Samson lost his strength, and he's just a clown. But he prayed, and God answered his prayer. But the one I got on is another favorite of mine, Jonah. If you want to turn to Jonah, you can look at a few verses with me as we go through. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You ever tried that run? I bet you have. Run from the presence of the Lord. I don't want to hear any more of it. I don't want somebody telling me what I need to do. Whatever. Well, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Think for a minute. If God is God, He's all-seeing. He's all-knowing. In a dark room, you're just as clear as if it were light. He hears every word you speak. You can't say something in secret to somebody and God not know it. He's everywhere at the same time. Now, can you imagine that? I can read the words. They're very simple little words. Anybody ought to understand them. Your problem is believing them. It's not the reading of them and the understanding of them. It's the believing of them. Will you trust the word and take God's word? If that's so, God's with you every moment of every day, in every room, in dark and light, and anything else you want to put about. Wow. And by the way, God is not only everywhere, He's all powerful. He can do anything He wants. He can do things that you have never even imagined as yet. You can't outpower God. You can't outrun God. Jonah evidently was a good preacher, a good prophet, because God sent him to a great big heathen city. It says it was 3 days' journey. That means as far as you could walk in one day, and then the next day, and the next day. That's a big city. The little place I was raised up, you could get out of it in 10 minutes. Wouldn't take you long. Wasn't that many people there. This is a huge city, Nineveh. I read years ago, and I don't know where I read it. I don't know who to give credit to. But someone made the statement that Jonah was a patriot for Israel. He was prejudiced for his own nation. And he knew God was a merciful God, and that if he went and preached God's message to them, they'd repent and God would forgive them. And he, as a prophet, had seen before what the Ninevites were going to do to Israel 100 and some odd years later. And by the way, in my head is 167. I'm not sure that's right. Don't take that, but it's a long time. How many generations is 167? Well, in my family, it's about every 20 years. 100 years, you get about 5 generations out of that. And if you go to 200 years, you got 10 generations out of that. Do you think a revival is worth doing that would get you safe for 10 generations? Yeah. Now, by the way, revivals don't continue. You get saved, and you get your family saved, and you get your kids saved, and then half your kids are going to go off, and they're still saved, but half of their kids don't get saved. They begin to run with the crowd. They begin to think about the world, and they get out of church. They get away from the Bible. They get away from God. But 10 generations? Wow. Jonah was some kind of a preacher. And you know what it says? The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it for their wickedness. And Jonah says, no, God's going to be merciful. God's going to give a revival. I wish I had that confidence when I preached revivals. Oh boy, we're going to get a revival. Sometimes you see one, praise God, but sometimes you don't. You preach and preach and preach. I went to one church in eastern Texas, country town, sweet church, sweet people. The pastor had a list of names, 60 names of men in that community above 60 years old that were not saved. He was a faithful pastor, very unusual, young man. We went around visiting him. And I don't think we got maybe one or two. But I had a gun pulled on me by one of them. said he was going to blow my guts right straight to hell. And I said, well, first of all, it's not pointed at my guts. And I'm going to heaven. And that made him mad. I could see the bullets. It was a revolver. The gun was loaded. And he was mad. And the pastor and the song leader that with me, they're taking me and getting me out of the building. Taking me out. And he's following me out. And I'm telling him, you still need to get saved. You need to get saved. He didn't get saved. Another man went to, big man. Country overalls. Big farmer. He was 60-something years old, not saved. I could talk to him about anything. He was the sweetest man. We sitting on the porch in rocking chairs. I talked to him about the farm, about the tractor, about the crops, about his life, about other things. He just is friendly, just talks back and forth. I'd say, do you believe the Bible? He just rocked. That is a very difficult thing to deal with. I don't know if you've ever had one like this one, but I knew how I could really ring somebody's bell if they came after me. Just rock and shut your mouth. Everything I get, I'd get away from the Bible and go talk about something else. He was talking, he just friendly, just very kind. And then I'd say, Jesus died for you. He paid your debt upon Calvary's cross. You can be saved, have your sins forgiven if you call on the Lord. Now, he just rock. Not say a word. Amazing. Amazing. Here's Jonah. He's got to be a pretty good preacher. He's a faithful servant of God. Maybe he's too much of a patriot. Maybe that's the cause of his rebellion. I'm not sure about that. But we do know it is rebellion. He got up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can it work that way? It can't. You can't run from God. He's everywhere. When you get wherever you're going, he's already been there. And he's there while you're there. That's a simple truth that if you could understand, you'd deal better with God. You got no way to run from God. So here's Jonah, and he's running. But it says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid. Now, when you get the real sailors to be worried, you're in trouble. I'm worried when you get out there and that thing starts rocking and I start getting seasick. I like to fish off the banks. I don't like being out there where that thing's going like this, you know. I remember one time I was on it and I cast my line in there and I had a big red fish about like that and I'm sick as a dog. And I'm pulling this thing up, you know, and it's a beautiful fish, you know. I thought, boy, any other time I would have been really happy to have had that fish, you know. I just looked at the guy next to me and said, here. I went inside the lounge and laid on my back on a bench for 8 hours till they got that thing back home. I have never paid to go out on a boat since then. Lord sent a big, great wind into the sea and a mighty tempest. So the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Jonah was down in the sides of the ship and he was fast asleep. He didn't even know they were having a problem. They said unto him, O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God so that God will think upon us that we perish not. And then they threw lots. Isn't it amazing how sometimes when they throw lots, they actually hit the right one? The lot, verse 7, the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? And what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? To what people art thou? He said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land, and the men were exceeding afraid. They said, what do we do? He said, throw me in. I serve the real God, guys. And I'm running from that real God. And the only way you're going to be saved is you just throw me into the ocean. They didn't believe it. They tried hard. They did not want to throw this man into the water, into that storm. They tried hard. Finally, they gave up. And they pitched him in. And all of a sudden, the sea went back to calm. And it says, verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now, verse 17 starts a story that a lot of people have a problem with. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus says it's a whale. But it's not a normal whale. He'd had to prepare this fish because a normal whale can't swallow big things. It swallows little bitty food fish as it goes through. But you know, God had prepared a campsite for Jonah in the belly of a whale. I cannot imagine. Do you think the coronavirus is bad? I don't think it's as bad as what Jonah was going through. Jonah's in the belly of this whale 3 days and three nights. You see, a whale breathes there. Comes up to the top, sucks an awful lot of air in, and then it can go down. Well, Jonah's breathing that air. I don't know what the inside of a whale would smell like, but I don't think it would smell good. I really don't. Poor Jonah. Poor Jonah. 3 days and three nights, and God's going to use this in the New Testament. Jesus is going to say, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. The sign of the Jonah. He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. The Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights. And by the way, get you the nights in. You can't have a good Friday if you get your nights in. But at any rate, this great fish. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed. He prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 4, chapter 2, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. I've enjoyed some TV programs that show all of the things underneath the sea. It's an amazing thing. And some of them are very deep. They're not just a couple of hundred feet, they're miles. Miles deep in some of those canyons. That's out in the ocean that we haven't discovered yet. Although we know about the size because of the radar and stuff. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Earth with her bars was about me forever. I think Jonah had a bigger problem than you do. I think old Jonah is in trouble. Do you know what? God can put you in a fix in a minute. You don't want to be disobeying. Here's a preacher of the gospel. Here's a prophet. Here's a man that believes when he preaches in Nineveh, Nineveh's going to get a revival. He does not want them to have that revival. So he is rebellious and he runs from God. I know a lot of preachers that would just love to go to Nineveh and get a revival. You'd love to have somebody even get mad at you, you know. Sometimes if they just ignore you, you didn't do your job right. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains of the earth with their bars about me forever. Look at verse 7, chapter 2. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Wow. Is it going to take the belly of a whale to get you to call on God? Can COVID-19 get you to call on God? How about a big car wreck? How about a death in the family? How about somebody really sick? How about you being really sick? What does it take to get your attention that you will use one of these four little words and call upon God?
Right.
It's not complicated. It is simple. You just have to believe what it says. It gets complicated when you start changing what's there. It gets complicated when you bring in all certain things outside and you think you're so smart. No, 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 no. The way you handle this Bible is believe it, and it's simple. Now, what chance does Jonah have? I wouldn't give him a chance, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000. He's in the belly of a fish for 3 days. He's down at the very depths of the ocean. He doesn't stand a chance. You ever think you don't stand a chance?
Amen.
You ever think you can pray to God and it wouldn't help? You ever think that maybe you don't have any way out? This pain is never going to stop. This confusion of mind is never going to go away. This COVID virus and all of the disruptions of our families and everything is never going to go away. No, I'll tell you what. He did what he's supposed to do. When my soul fainted within me. Now, he was a stubborn man. I'm looking at Jonah and thinking that's one of the most stubborn, righteous men I've ever read about. We know he was God's man. We know he has, when he preaches, the greatest revival recorded anywhere. This city of 3 days walking time, with all those people, even the king itself is going to repent. And I believe, and I make the habit, this is just in my head, and I can't look it up anywhere that I know right now. I believe 167 years have put off the death. Now he said 40 days. Unless you seek God. 40 days. So it went from 40 days to 167 years before the destruction of Nineveh came. That's a bunch of generations of kids. That's a bunch of families that got blessed. What about the size of the city? I don't know whether that's 1 million people or 300,000 people. I'm not sure what kind of city that is. I'd have no way of judging it myself. But we're looking at a big revival here that changes people's lives for over 100 years. That's a wonderful thing. When you get saved and your kids get saved and their kids get saved, that's a wonderful thing. You owe your salvation to somebody ahead of you, behind you, somewhere down there that held the Word of God together, that preached the Word of God, that told Bible stories to their grandkids. And people got saved and changed lives. All of my kids profess to be saved. All of them walk faithful to the Lord right now. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, verse 8 doesn't actually fit with this thing here, but it's a great truth. You ought to know verse chapter 2, verse 8 of Jonah. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you're following in a false religion, if you're bowing down to some idol, you're praying to the Virgin Mary, or you're confessing to a priest, or you're giving all sorts of money or property, whatever, to anybody but God, you've forsaken your own mercy. Where are you going to get mercy? God. Tremendous statement right there, right in the middle of Jonah. Now, when he turned up and went to God, chapter 2, verse 10 says, the Lord spake unto the fish. And did you know fish understand the language of God? I like that. I like the way it's phrased. The Lord spake unto the fish, and I believe it. I believe he spoke to the fish. Okay, spake unto the fish. It vomited out Jonah upon dry land. I had a very lovely wife. She was a wonderful wife. She was a wonderful mother. She was very intelligent. She was organized and she was strong-willed. She could not stand vomit. I'd been gone about 6 weeks in revival. I come in home, the only one of my family up. I had three kids at that time. The only one of my family that was up was Eddie. Everybody else was down. And he greets me at the door as I come in, because I'm looking for a great big nice welcome, you know. Hey, I'm home, boy, this is going to be wonderful, whatever. I've been gone for 6 weeks, man. I'm ready. Everybody was vomiting, and poor old Eddie, he was trying his best to do it. Verlene was sick, Linda was sick, Billy was sick. It was just all a mess, and I come into a real mess. You know something? The Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
Amen.
He got vomited out on the shore. I don't know what he smelled like. I'm not too sure whether he took a bath, but I bet he did. I don't think that was a Holiday Inn that he had been in for 3 days and three nights. I think there were gastric juices and all sorts of putrefying things, and he was vomited out on the shore. Has God treated you that way? You lucky thing, you. You blessed thing, you. God hadn't vomited you out on the shore yet. He hadn't let you smell the inside of a whale for about 3 days and three nights. But maybe you haven't been as rebellious as Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Do you know what? God meant for Jonah to preach to Nineveh. Sometimes you can't get out of what God wants you to do. You may try and say, let somebody else do this, Lord. No, no, no. This is what you have to do. And Jonah was called by God to go down to Nineveh and preach. And he ran from God, and God caught him. Kept him 3 days and three nights. Reminded him that he was a God that answered prayer. I'm sure he brought it to his mind. You know what? He vomited him out on the beach. And then he told him, the word of God the second time, this is verse chapter 3, verse 2, rise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. The preaching's not your business, the preaching's God's business. You're talking about God's word. You better be sure you give it clear and straight. You better be sure that you do what God wanted you to do, or else you're in trouble with a God that will get his way. Now, this is a stubborn man. I'm not sure why he was stubborn, but I've known some stubborn preachers. I've been a pretty stubborn one myself sometimes. I've seen my kids when they got in a stubborn mood. But I never had anyone like this one. This Jonah is one stubborn man. Now, he knows what to preach. He knows where to preach it. He has the command of God to go to preach. And he does not want to. But after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, after being vomited out on the shore, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it the preaching I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How about that for a judgment call? You got 40 days. I can't say that. I've preached for 63 years, and I can't say just 40 days you got. I don't know. I'm preaching the gospel to whoever will. Whosoever will. He may call upon the Lord, and God will answer people that call upon him. And so a real revival took place. God saw their works, verse 10, and they turned from their evil way. They repented of the evil. God repented of all the evil he was going to do to them, and he said he would do what he was going to do, destroy him, and he didn't do it. In chapter 4, verse 1, I'm just going to use this one verse out of the chapter. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You get mad when people get saved? I don't get mad when people get saved. I get happy when people get saved. Man, sometimes they surprise me, you know. I've had them walk up to me, and I don't know anything about it, and they confess the Lord. Wow, you know? I was preaching in Guatemala one time, a revival in the highest city in the country. It was about 10,000 feet above sea level, Totonicapan. And I was there with Cesar and his wife and friend of mine. And this was 20 years later, and I wasn't sure about my Spanish. I didn't know I was getting things wrong. You know something? God Almighty saved some souls. Some of them we didn't expect to get saved. But they got saved with this poor preaching of Spanish that I was doing. But they got saved. And the rejoicing that was in that city, the rejoicing over one older man that came down. He was one that nobody figured on. Nobody planned on him getting it. Nobody thought he would have an interest in it. But he got saved. And they were rejoicing. Well, I tell you what, the city is rejoicing. It's Jonah that's not rejoicing. Jonah's mad. I knew you'd do this, God. Do you know that if people will call upon God, He will save them?
That's true.
Do you know that if you seek the Lord, you can find Him?
Yeah.
Do you know that if you ask for God to come have mercy upon you and forgive your sins, and you believe in Jesus, that He'll do it? Do you realize that God has laid it out, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you?
Wow.
Call upon me. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of compassion. God is a God of salvation. And God has provided so great a salvation, there's nothing to compare it. Nothing. And He gives it away free. He doesn't charge you anything for it. He doesn't demand for it. It was the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You can be saved today. You can be saved this very minute if you'll call. That's a little word. That's a real simple little word. You ought to know what it means. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I tell you what, God has been answering calls for a long, long time. We got the story of many of them right here in the Bible. And there are plenty of books out telling you about other calls that were answered. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Bible says He's near all that call upon Him. Man, that leaves all the people in the world if they would simply believe and call on the Lord. Wow. Four simple little words. If you understood them, you ought to understand them. They could open up a door from even a fish's belly. Now I guarantee you Jonah was in worse shape than you are. I guarantee it. None of us. I've never been there. I've had some hard days. I've had some bad things happen. I've never been where Jonah has been. Jonah must have been a very stubborn man, and God knew how to deal with him. But Jonah, even that stubborn man, found out he could not run from God. Neither can you. If you know what God wants in your life, you ought to submit to it.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
You know what God wants? He wants to bless you. Everything He wants to do for you is a blessing because you are His children by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God's great love is wonderful. I thought about a very stubborn man that could profit from four small words. Why don't you profit from them? May God bless you.
Yep.
Just leave your phone books on your chair, please.
Yep. Phone book.
Oh, I thought you said phone book.
You weren't yet.